Today we are finishing this two-part series on vision casting, and the title of this sermon is How to Get Where I Want to Be. Because, you know, we all have goals in life, right? We all have things that we want to accomplish, things that we want to do, but it takes a vision to see those through. If you don't see the end result of where you want to be or what you're setting out to do, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because what you're saying is, well, I want to do this, but I don't have a plan. And so that's kind of what this series is about, is how to finish those goals, how to accomplish those goals with success instead of failures, success instead of setbacks. But beyond that, we all have a higher calling in our lives. Even if you're not a believer and you're just checking this church out today, you as well, all of us have a higher calling in our lives that God Himself spoke over us. Before we were born, when we were in our mother's womb, God said, I know the plans that I have for you. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you succeed. I don't want to see you fail. I don't want to see you fall into wickedness. For each one of us, however, it's up to us to invite Jesus in and then to find out where that path is that He had originally carved out for us so that we can walk it out with Him. And that is the greatest adventure in life, right there, when you can find that and do that. That is how you find fulfillment in life. You will never find it any other way, really. Unconditional, for real fulfillment. So, last Sunday, we talked about a story that had to do with Moses and the Israelites, and how Moses had led the Israelites out from under the slavery, under the oppression of the Egyptians. And God said, listen, I've got a land for you. It's your inheritance. I want to give to you. It's called the Promised Land. And so they get kind of near this area here. Moses finds 12 spies, 12 leaders that he wants to send out. So they did. They spied out this land for 40 days. They came back. 10 of the 12 came back with a negative, fearful report. They said, there's no way we can do this. 2 said, we can do this. Well, all along, this was God's vision, God's plan for the Israelites. So 10 of them fell fearful and said, we can't do this. Well, that negative report spread throughout the entire nation, like millions of people. And so they got upset, like Moses is leading us out here to kill us all. And they thought it would be better if they went back under the oppression of the Egyptians. So God said, well, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this. And they all cried out to God, we need a new leader and stuff. So God said, everybody from this age on up, you will not see the Promised Land. And everybody from this age on down, you will. But it won't be for 40 years. And the two spies who had the positive report, the eyes of faith report, was Joshua and Caleb. And they ended up leading the Israelites into the Promised Land many years later. Because they understood that with God, all things are possible. They knew that this was God's plan for them. And they knew that with God on their side, there was no failure. And so today what we're going to look at is something that we all need from time to time. Every one of us, no matter where we're at in life, need a fresh start. Right? I mean, everybody could use a fresh start. I mean, life just gets us down and stuff. And so today what we're going to do is we are going to spend some time looking at several passages and several examples on what to lean on in the scriptures when we want to get somewhere in life, when we want to advance what we're doing or where we are at in life. How do we do that? Leaning into the scriptures, using the scriptures as our guide. Because sometimes when we try to advance in life, we may not feel like we have what it takes to get to where I want to be. Maybe it's resources you feel you're lacking. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's help. Maybe it's talent, time, money, whatever. But if you have a vision, you can see it through. For instance, how many times have you said to yourself, I sure could use a fresh start? I sure could use a new beginning. It would be really nice if I could have a do-over. Well, you're in good company. Now, maybe you haven't fallen back into some sinful behaviors and stuff, or maybe you have, but The good company I'm talking about is the Israelites. When you read about the Israelites in the Old Testament, God gave them do-overs and fresh starts over and over and over again. Because they had this silly habit of constantly falling back into sin and realizing where they were at and saying, God, we made a mistake. We need you. Please forgive us. They repented. They asked for forgiveness. God said, I love you. I'm with you. I got you. Every single time. He never gave up on them. And what that tells me is he will never give up on us either. That's something that we're going to look at. God is in the restoration business, and he doesn't care how many times he has to restore us. He's going to do it because he loves us. That's the kind of God that he is. That's the kind of creator that he is. But we can use a passage in the book of Zechariah to kind of solidify what I'm saying here. Zechariah chapter 10. Here's what God says. Zechariah was a prophet of God's. He was God's mouthpiece. And the prophets usually gave warnings to the Israelites because God was saying, listen, you're heading down this path of destruction. I need to get you out of there. And oftentimes he says, I will strengthen Judah and Israel. So maybe you've heard of, like, you know, the Lion of Judah. We sing worship songs. You see the word Judah in there. Israel and Judah is the same thing. There was a split between the nation, and the southern half of the country was Judah, and the northern half was known as Israel. But it was all the same. They were all God's chosen people. So God says through Zechariah, I will strengthen Judah and Israel. I will restore them because of my compassion. It will be as though I had never rejected them, for I am the Lord their God who hears their cries. Notice the highlighted words, I will restore them. That to me sounds like a fresh start. I will give them a fresh start. And by the way, in case you're wondering, I read from the New Living Translation, so that's all what I teach from at this point. So I will restore them. You see, no matter what happens, no matter how much we mess up, God will restore our lives as if it never happened. He says right here, it will be as though I had never rejected them. It's a do-over. It's a fresh start. As human beings, and we're going to get into this a little bit, we always think of our pasts and we always think of the things that we've done and we always remind ourselves of that. But God doesn't. He forgets it. He's God. He can do that. He can say, you know what? Forget it. Today's a new day. And this is one of the benefits of putting our trust in Jesus. Because he will never, ever, ever give up on us. No matter what. No matter how much we keep falling back into ways we wish we wouldn't, he will never give up on us. And so I like to use this other verse here in Psalm 145. This is great. Listen, the Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. Anybody here feel like just life is weighing you down? Like I don't know if I could make it another day? If you're going through a rough season, you need a fresh start. When I say lean into the scriptures on how to see these visions through, lean into the scriptures on how to get a fresh start, on how to make it through each day, this is what I mean. You take Psalm 145, verse 14, and you make that your life verse right now, if life is beating you up. God, your word says that you will help the fallen and you will lift those bent beneath their loads. I got so much stuff from work. I got family stuff going on. I got life stuff going on. I got a court date coming up because I messed up. I need help. And what I see when I read this in my mind, what I picture is Jesus reaching down with a helping hand to lift you up and out from under all the heaviness of life that's beating you up. That's what that verse tells me. Because again, God never gives up on us. When life gets too heavy to bear, I can lean on these verses right here. God, you said you would restore the Israelites. I need some restoration too. God, you said you'd lift those bent beneath heavy loads. I need some help. I'm bent over. I can't carry this anymore. And when we feel like we've come to a dead end with our vision in life or with what we want to accomplish, oftentimes we come to a dead end and we say, I can't go any longer. But in reality, what we really need to do is say, okay, Lord, what am I missing here? What adjustments do I need to make to see this happen? Because adjustments always need to be made. We just have to be ready for them. Or maybe you just feel like you're never going to be able to conquer the dreams and that God has given you to do. You just feel stuck. So what do? Well, you lean into the scriptures. You start reading the Bible. I picked three people that we can learn from that felt like this very same way. One was Moses. Another is Jeremiah. And another is a guy named Gideon. All three of these guys, God gave them a job and gave them a vision to see this job out that he had for them, this task in life. And all three of them felt underqualified, felt insecure, even felt like they were going to fail at this. I mean, Moses, when God called Moses, Moses said, I can't lead your people out from under the rule of Egypt. I have a speech impediment. I stutter. I'm not really confident. I don't want to do this. And he's going back and forth with God, and God was like, listen, you're not getting out of this. So I will supply you some leaders around you to help you. I'm going to bring your brother up. We're going to do this, Moses. You're the guy for the job. Jeremiah, he was a prophet of God's. God called him at a young age, and Jeremiah said, I'm too young for this. God said, no, you're not. I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah. I saw you walking this out when you were formed in your mother's womb. You and I will do this together. But let's kind of explore Gideon for a minute, because Gideon is a great example. And you can read about Gideon in Judges chapter 6. But God calls Gideon to free the Israelites out from some enemy nations that were coming up against them. And Gideon's response is, I can't do this. Does anybody remember the saying from last week? Henry, you can't say it because you taught it. You take the T off of can't, and you can. Yeah. But Gideon told God, he says, I can't do this. I'm not qualified. Here's what he says. Gideon was from the tribe of Manasseh. There were 12 tribes in Israel. Manasseh wasn't the biggest tribe. Here's Gideon's response to God. My family is the weakest in our entire tribe, and I am the least in my entire family. What? How could you possibly ever use me? Don't raise your hands. Anybody else ever think of that? God, how could you possibly use little old me? Well, God will confuse the strong when he uses the weak. And God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So God's response is, I will be with you, and you will destroy your enemy. And when you read about the story, it gets even crazier because God said, all right, Gideon, bring the entire army out here by the river and have them get a drink. And he says, those who cup the water with their hands and drink like this are going to be a part of your army, and those who just stick their face in the water and drink, they're not going to be a part of the army. 300 men were a part of the army. Very, very small army to go up against these large enemy nations. But guess what? They won. They conquered the enemies. And Gideon still was like, I don't know, God. He asked all these, you know, read the story, Judges chapter 6. But this reminds me of a psalm in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. God is our refuge and strength. When you feel like you're in trouble, he is always ready to help. Call out to him. He's just waiting for you to call out to him. When we feel like we don't have what it takes, when we're dealing with feelings of insecurity or lack of resources or the I can't do it mindset, God's word tells us that He's with us. You're not alone. I will help you. I'm ready. You just have to ask. He provides our resources, our protection, our wisdom. He provides everything that we need. He holds all the promises that we ever need in knowing that there's nothing to worry about when our trust is in Him. Now, how about this one? How about this? Oftentimes, we feel like we are unworthy of a fresh start because of our past. How many times do we let our past hold us down? The things we've done, the things I'm embarrassed about, I'm ashamed about, I wish that wasn't even in my memory anymore. You ever heard the saying, you're a product of your past? There is that saying out there, right? You're a product of your past. Oftentimes we say that I'm not a product of my past. That's not me anymore. Well, listen, I'm going to flip the script on that here for a second. When we say it like this, I wonder if we are fooling ourselves into thinking those things that we've done, whether good or bad, did not shape who we are. And so we want to separate ourselves from the things of the past. Who we were in the past may not be who we are now, but it's the past that shapes who we are. See, we most definitely are a product of our past. But let's not turn ourselves into prisoners of our past. The past can hold us down. See, there's a difference there. The past can haunt us. And therefore, we become bound to the things we've done. Who doesn't want you to advance in the kingdom of God? Your past. The bad things we've done. Those thoughts that we have that we hold on to. Even when you say, that's not me anymore, you're still bound to the past. Because, listen, if we accept what we've done and learn from it, we become better people because of it. And some of that answer for learning from our past can be found in the Proverbs. I want to read this proverb. Because this one holds some weight, so I'm going to read it from the Word. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. What does that mean? See, confessing our sins and receiving mercy from God is a fresh start. It's a do-over. It means my past no longer controls me, and I'm free from the things I've once done and the person I once was. When we allow ourselves to learn from the past, we're not hiding from it, we're learning from it. Therefore, we have a better opportunity for God to use us as an influence for His kingdom with the people around us. See, don't separate yourself from the past. What you do is you say, I was this person, but then I met Jesus, and now I'm this person. And because of the things I've done in the past, and when I met Jesus, and the experience I had, and who I am now, I'm not going to go back there. And that's your area of influence to the people around you, because then you get to say, this is how Jesus helped me. See what I'm saying? Learn from the past. Don't ever think that you cannot advance in life because of your past. Don't ever. God will use that in more ways than you could ever think. But Let's just read another story here. We're coming up to third, and we're going to round home. We're going to read a story from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 1. And this is a pretty famous analogy. Back in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, there was a worship song about this from Hillsong, the potter and the potter's hand, and shape me and mold me and make me who you want me to be. And well, we're going to look at that. So it's up on the screen, but here we go. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there." So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Well, that's a fresh start. Then the Lord gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. You know, you could take out the word Israel and you could put your name in there. If God did this for the Israelites, how much more will he do it for each one of us? See, the Israelites were really no different than a lot of us. You know, they slipped into bad habits and sinful ways. Then they repented and they came back to God. And God said, I forgive you, and everything was good. And then they slipped back into those bad habits. And then they repented and came back to God. A lot of us do that. We're human beings. You know, God he's not fine with when we slip into our bad ways, but he's waiting for you to call on him again. He's waiting and he's waiting, and he loves it when we come back to him. See, this was the cycle that we read about the Israelites, and if I'm being honest, I'm like, how come these guys never got it right? But then I look at my life and I'm like, well, because you don't get it right all the time either. How come they never understood God's goodness and grace? Well, there's a lot of influences around us. There's a lot of stuff that's just vying for our attention. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't want us to advance within the kingdom of God. And what I think happens a lot with this is we feel guilty. Then we're like, we feel guilty. And then eventually we feel like we're failing. And then we end up not confessing our sins. We hide from our other believing friends, and we stop coming to church, and we think God doesn't see us. Well, he sees us. He's just waiting for us to turn back to him. But we conceal our sins just like that proverb said, because we don't confess anymore, and we don't talk to God anymore. And therefore, like that proverb said, when you conceal your sins, you don't prosper. It's no wonder life isn't going right for you. It's not necessarily because you're doing all these bad things. I mean, it is, but this proverb is a principle of God. You're not going to prosper in life if you're hiding the things that you're doing from God. It's just a principle. So we need to get into the mindset that what we think are failures can actually be learning moments that God will use. Don't beat yourself up. Listen, don't. And really, if you want, I mean, we all mess up. Follow somebody around that you think doesn't mess up at all for a little bit, and you'll be surprised. You know, we always compare ourselves to somebody we think is more spiritual than us and better in life than us, and there's no way that they mess up the way I do. Well, sneak around and follow them for a little bit. Not really, but what I'm saying is you're comparing yourself to somebody you think doesn't mess up like you do, when in fact we all mess up. It's in our nature. We're human beings. No matter how many times it takes, God is the potter who will continue to work with the clay, and that's us, until the final outcome is as he intended. And just like the nation of Israel, Israel allowed God to shape them into the people and into the nation he intended them to be. Eventually, they became a prosperous nation. They thrived under the reign of King Solomon. And we need to be available, just like the Israelites were. We need to be available to allow God to shape and mold us into the person that He created us to be. And it's all about a learning experience. When you mess up, don't beat yourself up. Just come to God and say, all right, God, I'm really messed up. Once we get over this hump, can you help me figure out what I can learn from that? And maybe God, can you help me like recognize when I'm falling into that way again? And He'll be with you. And his voice, when you do that, when you read His word and you talk to Him, His voice will get louder and louder, and it'll become easier and easier to recognize. I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience. That's how it works. It's all about a learning experience. God loves to teach us, and He loves it when we learn. Failures and setbacks are what help us learn. The most successful people out there in the world didn't become successful because they didn't make any mistakes. They learned from all those mistakes. And all the while we're learning, God is shaping and reshaping us to be who He originally intended for us to be. And this is what fresh starts are all about. Too often, here's what I think happens. Too often, we play the potter's role ourselves. Right? How many times have we said, if I could just fix this, if I could just stop doing that, everything will be fine. I got myself into this, I'll get myself out of this. Well, there's a missing piece to that equation. You can't do any of this without Jesus. You can get yourself out of it for a little bit, but I'm telling you, without Jesus, you're going to fall back into it quicker than you would have if you were with Jesus. And maybe even with Jesus, there's that chance that you're not going to do it again. We can't play the role of the potter. We have to submit to God and His ways and trust who He is and allow Him to shape and mold us out of the mess we get ourselves in, so we'll be better people for it. And sometimes I wonder if what happens is we're afraid to allow God to have access into our lives. And maybe it's a couple of things. Maybe it's because in order for that to happen, we have to let go and give Him control. You know, if you want Jesus to be the king of your life, if you want Jesus to be your Savior, you got to let go and understand that He knows what's best for us. And then the second thing would be this. Oftentimes, we're afraid that God is going to change who we are. I remember when I first started coming to church here 20 years ago, this October will be my 20th anniversary of walking in here. 20 years. The third Sunday in October. But I fought coming to church for a long time because there was a voice in my head that said, if you do, you will be changed. And you don't want that. I don't want that. You're not like those people that go to church. I fought those voices. And so we think, too, if I give God control, if I submit to His ways, He's going to change who I am. Well, good. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't throw out our personality when He reshapes who we are. We are still the same clay. We're just shaped in the image that Jesus wants us to be shaped in. We're shaped in the image that He originally saw us when we were in our mother's womb. He takes the good, the bad, the ugly, all the experiences that shape who we are, and He gently and lovingly applies pressure in the areas that need it as He shapes us and molds us into a beautiful piece of art. A masterpiece is what the Bible says. And sometimes He might crush you a little bit. Maybe you need a crushing a little bit. But with Jesus in control, the outcome is much better than what it would be without. And what happens is we then begin to reflect his glory. We begin to reflect his kingdom. And that is what life with Jesus is all about. I'll close it with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Love this verse. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. There's an exclamation point. A new life has begun. This is what a fresh start is all about. And God will work with us every time. Every time. It's the enemy that wants to keep you down, remind you of your setbacks, remind you of your mess ups, and keep you focused on that. When it comes to needing a fresh start, we have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And trust can be a big deal sometimes. I get that. Sometimes that's hard. But it means that we have to let go of some things. Give them to God. Let him have control. Understand that he is always working in the background on our behalf and that he knows what he is doing. Do you want me to say that a third time? God knows what he is doing. We may not always understand what's going on or why it's happening, but God always has a plan and he always has a way out. His intentions for our lives are always good. And when he's preparing us for a fresh start, it may just mean that we are on the potter's wheel getting ready for the next adventure that he has for us. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And I thank you for that you are a God of fresh starts, a God of do-overs, a God that wants to see his people succeed. And I pray that as we head into a time of worship here in a few minutes, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to each one of us, especially if we're like, oh, man, I am just like the Israelites. Or if we're like, I really have some goals I want to see take place, but I'm not too sure how to go about it. God, I ask that you would speak to each one of us in a way that lets us know that you are there and you are working on our behalf to see us succeed and not fail, to see us be who you created us to be and not what the world wants us to be. I thank you, Jesus. And I pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.